Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Three Beards EPL podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, with your other hosts, Ken Lee and Tyler behind the glass. Ken, how are we feeling?
I'm good.
I am so excited for two things, Ken. I'm excited for the transfer window, which gets your juices flowing and gets you texting me absolutely absurd transfer ideas.
Well, that's more Tyler. I just entertain it because I like living in that world of speculation.
I know, and I enjoy your take on it. And Tyler, the same is for you. I feel like in the past you've texted me about transfer window stuff kind of like intermittently. But this year, because of the podcast and you having to be responsible for so many games, etc., you've been texting a lot more about it. And it's fun to see the ideas that fly around. Ken, you and I were talking about that before. When it's transfer time, it's time to dream.
Hey, you can only do it 4 months of the year.
Yeah.
You might as well really burn your
bridge. You realize that next year the transfer window closes on August 10th?
Yeah, before the season starts.
We lose a month.
I lose a month of it.
Yeah. Hopefully that means that the tabloid writers, that just means that they're going to increase their output. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I have to live January like there's 32 days.
That's true.
To make up for this year missing a month.
I am excited about that. Tyler, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really, really well.
How's everybody's squad doing? Is everybody good? Like babies? Are we recovered?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're 100% over here. How about there?
We're trending up.
Good. Although Char and I still have a cough. Char's had a cough for like 60 days. It's unbelievable.
Hey, nobody cares.
I'm really sorry.
Have a cold.
I'm really sorry. Yeah. No. Seriously, the kids definitely don't give you a rest on it, but it's fine. I also, Ken, you know, I got to meet Tyler's, I guess you'd call him a baby. What's he, 8 months, Tyler?
9 months now.
The kid is, like, wearing 3T. He's like in a Hawaiian shirt and jeans. He's enormous. I don't know if I've ever seen a baby that big in my life.
I saw him a couple of days after he was born. Full disclosure, he had on a top hat. He was smoking a cigar. He was ready.
He is enormous, Tyler.
he put a UFC style hold on me today, and because he's got the mass, I was on the ground with him, and he got both hands in my hair, and then he just
Tyler
laid down.
Out.
I did tap out.
I blacked out.
I called my wife in, and I'm like, I can't move. You got to get his hands, like, without pulling out clumps of my hair, you got to take his hands out of my hair.
In a slightly panicked voice. honey.
I've heard Tyler's panicked voice when he's screaming for his wife, and that is close to what it sounds
that's
like.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
I gave my condolences to your wife. I mean, the good news, I guess, is that like she gets a great arm workout constantly, but that kid is enormous. I feel like you guys are skipping, not just you're gonna go from like 2T to like 4T, and then just straight up the line, just skipping every single time. This kid's enormous. Just don't let him walk, Tyler. That's the only thing. You just don't let these kids walk. I tell everybody that. That's the problem when they start walking. Just push them over. Don't encourage.
Kneecap them.
Well, that's extreme, but I see what you're trying to get at. I told Pete that too. Like, Dr. Pete was talking about watching games with baby and stuff. And, you know, he's in the blob baby phase, so he can just sit there with the baby the whole time. I'm like, you know, you got like...
Lucky.
Yeah. You got like 4 to 6 more months of that before he starts crawling, and you can't just leave him in a room and go and like grab your coffee off the counter, you know? Like, Tyler, just don't let him walk. That's my advice to you. All right, we'll get started here. We'll start with the game of the week, which was... Tom 4, Tyler 0 in FIFA 18. Tyler, what happened here? What happened here?
See, I noticed how you gloss over the first game, which was a draw.
That was not a draw. It was 2-0. It was 2-0, and the second game is 4-0. And you tried to bring Diego Costa off your bench, and he's been transferred out, so you couldn't. And that's what you blame the game
on. He always does that. Oh my God! I hate that.
Bottom line is 4-0 as Zlatan Ibrahimovic bags a brace and sinks Tyler at Tyler's house. I mean, you have to be disappointed. Tyler's family looking on. I don't know what else to tell you. I warned you, Tyler. I have had a little more time than usual to train. And I just think that, you know, you're not far from it, but you really got to mark Eber in the box.
Thank you. I will take that under advisement and put that into play next time.
Moving into real soccer, Chelsea 4, Brighton 0. There you go, Tyler. I'll throw you a bone here. As the Chelsea takes it to Brighton here, Eden Hazard with 2 really nice goals. You know, this scoreline's a little bit flattering. Brighton had a bunch of really good shots. Caballero actually was playing for Courtois in this one and had a really nice game. I think he saved a PK too, didn't he? I think he did. Yeah, he saved a PK in this one. And then Brighton had a bunch of chances, but Chelsea's goals were pretty much all really nice. Like, really nice build-up play.
Team play goal of the season candidate.
Which one? The Victor Moses?
The Willian goal.
The Willian? Okay, the Willian goal. Yeah, that was number 2, I think.
2 back heels.
Yeah.
Blasted into the side netting, pretty much. Unbelievable passing going on.
Yeah.
I think Willian, what did Willian hit I think he touched the ball like 5 times before he actually shot it into the net.
Yeah, and he smoked it, and then
pretty good
Hazard
stuff.
Had a nice goal like that, and a second goal where he just did his little baby dribbles. You know, like Messi has and Salah has, these little in-between touch dribbles where the ball just sticks to you. Hazard does that so well, and Chelsea gets a much-needed 4-0 win here, helped their goal differential as they were sliding a little bit, and they're going into the transfer window. Kent, let's throw around some transfers that Chelsea's been linked with.
I love them all.
I love them all as well.
I love every one of them. I can't believe that Andy Carroll went and saved Chelsea by getting injured.
Yeah, yeah.
Andy Carroll, Peter Crouch, and now the latest Arnautovic. Like, is this just for laughs, or is this serious?
Now, I don't think...
I believe...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go, you finish. Finish your thought.
I believe it's just the very beginning of Antonio Conte's walking papers.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be in a very good mood around transfer time.
Well, how can you be in a good mood when your 3 top candidates to bring in is Peter Crouch, Andy Carroll, and Arnautovic? Seriously.
So,
2 of those are strikers closer to 40 than they are 35. And you have Morata.
Yeah, well, Morata's been bad. They had an FA Cup match that they squeaked through on penalties in the midweek where you saw that. I know Morata got sent off with the second yellow, and I think Pedro did too.
I didn't see that game. So.
Yeah.
Is that why Morata wasn't playing?
Yeah, he's banned. He got...
Oh, I thought they just, like, you know, finally sat him came down. To their senses.
No. They
just sat him
they
down.
They didn't. Tyler, you want to add anything to this game?
Not to the game, but to the transfer rumors. So Conte, has, for a long time, has said that he wants a large, physical forward presence.
So he's drafting your son.
Yeah,
monster transfer fee.
Well, your son wasn't available, so they went to the 2 grandpas of the league.
That's right. But you have to be 16 to register in the Prem.
But
they went to old man strength.
With how unlikely it is that Conte's going to stay probably past another season or maybe even until the end of this season, I don't think the board...
He might leave this month.
I don't see the board approving a player like that because there's no way that a player like that is going to fit into the management style of the next manager. Nobody else besides Conte would want somebody like that. And even though I think it's kind of interesting and I'd like to see what it would do, I don't think it'll happen. Now,
I'll give you a couple ideas of what it will do.
Sure.
Waste some money. Waste some time. And make Morata look better. That might be the play. We need to make Morata look better at Chelsea.
You think like...
By bringing these 2 strikers in to show that, hey, it's not just Morata that can't score on this team. Neither can Peter Crouch, and he's world class.
You know, Peter Crouch is one of my favorite players. He wasn't always, like, when he was...
He does the robot.
Dude, when... I mean, he's a... 6'7", I think, and he probably weighs like 160 pounds, so he's a beanstalk. But you know what, Ken? He's always had a good time with it. Like, he looks ridiculous, but he actually, in his career, has scored some really nice bicycle kick goals. Like, he has a really sound technical form.
I'm not questioning his career.
Yes.
I'm questioning him now.
Yeah.
At Chelsea.
Of course. I also wanted to share my favorite part of Peter Crouch with his look and everything. You know, he's not a very good-looking man, and he knows it. And there was an interview they did with him in 442, and they asked him what he would be doing if he wasn't playing football, and he said he would be a virgin. It's my favorite answer from an interview of all time. So I hope you guys get him. He does score goals. I believe he's leading. He's a leading scorer at Stoke City, despite not even starting until the last three or four games, only coming off the bench. I mean, that's probably more indicative of Stoke.
I mean, how does he? How many goals does he have?
I think he has
three?
Five or six, probably.
Four? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think.
Hey, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about half as many that Morata has, and he probably cost about $5. So.
Yeah, probably the way to stop Morata from scoring, I think they just stopped Azpilicueta from crossing the ball to him. I think that's pretty much it. That cross up the middle, you know? Like, they had six assists already to each other. I mean, back and forth of Azpilicueta to Morata was six times, so... I mean, it seems like an easy thing to do. But anyway, Chelsea go ahead and win this game 4-0. Overall, that was kind of the theme of the weekend.
Don't forget about Eden Hazard being in a player swap.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, we can't forget about that. That we're going to get Dembele, and I was watching some Dembele videos. He is amazing.
He's injured, isn't he?
He was. He's back. But he
must just be back.
You know what?
There's no way he's moving. I'm not against a player swap. Like, I don't adamantly hate a player swap. Like Tom does. He says they don't exist when they absolutely exist. His own club is doing one right now.
They are not.
Yes, they are.
They had to make it separate because Mkhitaryan's agent was trying to block the Sanchez deal. So what I'm hearing is they are two separate deals.
Okay. It's still a player. That's semantics, Thomas.
Still.
Oh my, you're an idiot. I can't handle you. I cannot handle you.
I looked up the most famous swap deals of all time, and I'll summarize it like this. Number three was Jermaine Defoe for Jozy Altidor. So, swap deals aren't a thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not the authority of the transfer market, my friend. They happen more often than you give it credit.
I think they happen like 2% of the time that they show up in the tabloids. I'll be honest.
Well, the biggest one of January is a player swap, and it has to do with Sanchez to your club. That is 100% a player swap. No matter how you slice it, just because you're making it two pieces of paper doesn't stop the fact that it's a player swap. It's Sanchez going one direction, Mkhitaryan going the other direction.
The Mkhitaryan deal?
I just said Mkhitaryan.
I know, but Sanchez his agent one insisting that it's called the Mkhitaryan deal, not the Sanchez deal.
Oh. Well, yeah, he's just trying to leverage because he wants more money for his player.
Yeah.
Because he already knows Sanchez is going to get a boatload of money.
Yeah.
Now he needs to make sure that Mkhitaryan does. And Mkhitaryan, is he going to get a pay raise to go to Arsenal? For whatever reason, probably.
I would be amazed at that. I honestly, like you said it last week, you talk about a guy who is on the outs with his club in terms of form and is basically getting run out of town. If he gets a dollar
more,
that's crazy.
I see Arsenal entertaining it is because Wenger has liked him for years. So many things. I mean, it's just so dumb, but that's just what's going to be. We'll talk about Arsenal in a second.
We're going to go right to Arsenal, actually, Ken, as the theme of the weekend.
Oh, well, then that's a segue then. Yeah. We'll talk about the game later then.
Go ahead.
Mkhitaryan, if he comes in and makes more money, if he gets a wage increase, can you imagine what Ozil's going to do?
I already know what Ozil's going to do. He's going to go to, like,
Ozil's
going to
say, I'll stay out. No, I'll stay. I really do think Ozil wants to stay.
I think he fits Arsenal.
I don't think
Arsenal.
He's against staying. I don't think he can go anywhere else in the world and play the way he does and stay as a player, personally. I like him. I think he brings a lot of value to the club. But I don't think a lot of other clubs will put up with his in and out nature of playing.
Yeah.
So I think that he stays, but now Mkhitaryan, if to your point, if he gets even a penny more, Ozil's going to use that and say, whatever I'm making right now, I want double.
Yeah.
Because Mkhitaryan doesn't bring anything to this team.
Guy?
He plays He plays this midfield. Guy. So do I. So I want to pay Rice too.
Yeah, I mean, if Arsenal could sign Ozil, I really think that he could be signed by them. I mean, you look at where he's played in his career. He's already played at Real Madrid. He played in Germany, and there's not really a spot
got
for
a
him.
Got a World Cup.
Yeah, there's not a, but there's not I mean, a spot for everything. Him on Bayern, you know what I mean? Like, unless no, he wants to come off the bench.
Right. No, and he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he does.
I guess Italy, the Milan project, maybe they could use him. They're one of those things where they're trying to build a team out of nothing.
I don't see Ozil as a project guy, though.
Yeah, I mean, the flip side of that is if Arsenal finishes in sixth, they don't even have Europe next year. So, I mean...
True. Which, most likely, Arsenal is going to finish sixth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe fifth if Tottenham keeps playing the way they're playing, but...
Yeah, but Arsenal, though, in this game, and Ozil show up very nicely. They score a lot of goals, real close-range goals here, but nonetheless, a nice performance from them.
Early and often. Early and often, in the first half, that is.
You know, Ken, maybe this is the Theo Walcott? Was it the Theo Walcott jinx? Do you think that's what it was?
Walcott's gone. Supposedly Sanchez was causing a bunch of rifts in the locker room. The whole team, if you read the media and you believe what they say, the whole team wanted him gone in the summer.
Yeah, that's what worries
me. I mean,
me.
And it was Crystal Palace, so.
Dude, Crystal Palace has been picking
but
up
they're
points.
On the up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on the
Excuse
up.
Excuse you. Excuse you.
But yeah, no. Now, Sanchez. Now. Oh, do you want to go on to, can we talk about Sanchez going to Man U?
Sure.
Because it's going to bridge into a lot of
We're an
organic
stuff. Podcast. We just let things roll.
Let's do that. Yeah. Because I personally, I don't see where Sanchez fits in at Man United right now. And I don't see them winning a title in the next season or two with the current players that they have. So I'm just questioning the move of why, if Arsenal is so bad, what makes Man United so much better? Is it just the money?
It's interesting you say that because brother Joey, who's also a United fan, is very hesitant about it. And Dr. Pete and I were just kind of going back and forth with him. Brother Joey said, you know, we have Martial and we have Rashford that play that left wing spot. And
both playing out of their skin.
Rashford has 4 league goals this year. And he's the one
who
started.
Yeah, but he's not playing the out-and-out striker.
I know that, but Martial does have 9, I believe. He's been very impressive, and a lot of his goals are off the bench, which is even more impressive.
Right. So does Sanchez come in at the expense of putting Martial and Rashford on the bench?
Well, my response to...
Or moving one over to the right?
My response to that would be, as you well know, Sanchez, yes, his best position is left wing. Martial can play the right. Rashford can play the right. In Jose's system, the right winger plays actually a right midfield position. The left winger plays way up high and dribbles in, and the right midfielder actually has more defensive responsibilities. So you play deeper, you'll get less goals, etc. Whereas Sanchez, to me, and Dr. Pete reiterated this as well, Sanchez is a player who can score a goal out of nothing. And right now, Manchester United don't have any players besides maybe Pogba who are match-winning players that can pick up a ball at midfield and score a goal on their own. How many times has Sanchez just pushed
right.
through people and scored?
And that's why that's my only thing about losing him. If he's causing a bunch of problems in the locker room and he wants to go, he's got to go. But now we are a team that lacks goals, and the only person up until this weekend that's been scoring goals has been Sanchez. So now we have to find a way to get Lacazette on the score sheet yesterday. And
he got on the score sheet yesterday.
He did. I'm just saying, like, consistently.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that
I
was
agree.
His first goal in a meaningful amount of time.
It was. He, under the radar, has probably been playing the poorest of the Morata-Lukaku trio that joined
Definitely.
Him in the summer. But back to Sanchez and having him, I think one of the most important things about him besides his ability to play left wing is actually his ability to play as a 9. I mean, he plays as a false 9, which means he comes back to the ball more and is more involved in link-up play than like a target man 9, which is Lukaku, play balls into his chest, into his feet, he holds the ball for a second, waits for the wingers to catch up, and then plays them wide. But with Sanchez, you actually have another option at the 9 right now, and also the 10 playing underneath the striker, which right now is occupied by Jesse Lingard, who's been in unbelievable form. But Ken, I think both you and I can agree that, I mean, this is Jesse Lingard's ceiling, right? Like, the way he's playing right now has to
be. Oh, yeah, he's not getting any better. He's only going to dip, I would imagine. But back to the original point, I just don't imagine United being, like, winning a title in the next season or two. not counting this season. So, I mean, for three seasons, 2.5 seasons that Sanchez is going to be there, I don't see them winning the title. Now, could they win the title? Of course, anyone could win the title, but I don't see it happening. And two, I don't see Sanchez meshing like with Mao's the way he presents himself, not only to the club but to the fans. Like, it seems like he's very temperamental and he needs to have his back rubbed a little bit, and I don't see Mao doing that.
Yeah,
but
I worry
so
about that.
For you guys, I hope that the media is telling the exact truth and Sanchez is nothing but a prepubescent teenager who needs to be told that he's the best at everything every day, and if he doesn't, he gets mad and he makes it known to the locker room. I hope that that's 100% truth for you guys.
I do. That's my big concern about him. My big concern about him is the attitude. On the other side of that, when you have a player, when a team isn't winning and being successful, that's just the truth of the matter. When a team in any sport is not winning or being successful, you get unhappy players. In the NFL, you get unhappy wide receivers, you get unhappy running backs, etc. Give me the ball more, blah, blah, blah. I think that's also true of soccer. And Sanchez, I mean, Arsenal is in a downspin, especially over the last year or so. And then, of course, this year.
Oh, 100%.
So you never know. I mean, winning cures everything. But as you said, is United going to win a title in the next year?
Yeah, what is United winning right now?
They're not winning anything.
They're not winning anything. They're not competing for first right now.
They're not competing for first. But can they win next year?
Mao said it himself over the weekend. We lack depth in this team.
Yeah, which is what we're adding.
But what I'm saying is, like, he's the first piece. At the end of the day, what you get with Sanchez is a 100% proven match winner. Yeah. So you guys are only winning, and Arsenal is only losing because we're picking up Mkhitaryan in the deal and a couple dollars.
Yeah.
Which, to me, I've read, like, differentiating reports saying Arsenal came out and said, nah, we want $10 million now. Then they came out and said, nah, actually, we want $35 million.
Yeah.
Like, so who cares? Whatever it is, it's not enough.
Yeah, I think you've...
Because I don't count Mkhitaryan as being worth anything right now. So... Basically, any cash we get is what Arsenal had decided Sanchez is worth to them. And if it's 10, good on you guys. What a deal.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, you're talking about Mkhitaryan coming in, and I guess that's a depth move. I don't know what else to call it. Unless Manchester United, Jose Mourinho is just like, hey, what would it take for you guys to take Mkhitaryan off our hands? I mean, that's possible.
I would have rather... Why couldn't we have just gone in? If it were me, I would have said, oh, you want Sanchez in January? I want Martial.
So I did see there were three players they asked for. The first one was Luke Shaw. The second one was Martial. But
I saw Luke Shaw.
Both those players were turned down, as Luke Shaw's in really good form right now, and Martial is as well.
Right, but we're
that would have been good for you if you were
a world beater.
Yes, that would have been a good.
He's
move
still
for
better
you.
Than Martial, no question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would completely agree with that. But on the other hand, Ken, interesting story develops. As Arsenal is supposedly going to get some of this transfer fee, as Aubameyang from BVB Dortmund looks like he really might go to Arsenal.
I mean, I'm reading a lot of articles saying that deal is done and dusted.
Yeah,
they're just basically waiting for him to show up. But that would be a good signing, and I think it would be a sign of maybe what I was talking about a couple of episodes ago. The back office signings that Arsenal has made are not going to put up with letting players go and just leaving the hole there. So now what we haven't seen in the last 5 to 6 years with Arsenal is we let one of our best players go and we fill the gap with either a youth player or we pay £20 million for someone you've never heard of and they never play in an Arsenal jersey. Now what we have is, granted, Mkhitaryan coming over. Premier League proven, though. I mean, he's already ready. He knows what the league does. He knows what's expected of the league. He understands the pace, the strength, and everything like that. So we get Mkhitaryan, who can come in as a depth player. I don't see him breaking immediately into our midfield. I think we have a pretty good midfield. And two, now we go in for Aubameyang, and he says, yeah, I want to go. And I think it's because he's got disciplinary issues at Dortmund.
Well, I mean, he's been rumored to be transferred to Real Madrid, Barcelona, everywhere in the last... probably 2 years. He's a big goal scorer, but continue.
He's got, 13 or 14 already this season, and he's missed 3 games because he's been suspended.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 53-63? You know my idea on money. It doesn't matter to me.
It's
so,
not your money. It's not
it
your money.
It doesn't matter. Well, what I'm saying, it's no one's money, basically. When you're paying $100 million for any Tom, Dick, or Harry to shows up in a jersey that can kick a ball in the back of a net, I mean, who cares? It's Monopoly money. So, Aubameyang coming in, if he comes in before the 31st of January, it does take a whole lot of sting out of losing Sanchez. Even though it's not a like-for-like swap, mm-hmm. we still need someone scoring goals because Lacazette is not.
Yeah, the only thing I would say to that is that Aubameyang is a number 9, but he's an advanced striker, like, poacher type.
He's a poaching. Like, he hasn't created a goal. He doesn't create goals.
Which is,
they're all from the 6.
Which is interesting. I mean, Lacazette plays a similar role. He's a little better in the build-up play, but Arsenal's all about build-up play, and they don't play a lot of through balls.
Can do, we get Aubameyang in there, and we can maybe, it might take a little while to finesse this, but maybe we go back to the Adebayor-Van Persie days, where Adebayor held the ball up, fed the ball to Van Persie put in the back of the net.
Well, that would mean that Giroud would have to be playing, and it sounds like...
Well, I've heard Giroud's going the other way.
In a swap deal, Ken?
Well, yeah, Tom. It would be another swap
winter,
deal.
The winter of the swap deal.
I hope every deal is a swap deal, so you shut up about it.
Any other Arsenal transfers that you want to touch on?
No. I mean, I wish we would try to kind of maybe bring in another defender, but that doesn't seem on the horizon right now, and it doesn't really matter because it's January. And
yeah. I mean, keeping
we can bring in
is important.
Mkhitaryan, which I think is a done deal because I don't think Sanchez would go the other way without a player coming through. So Sanchez is supposedly already in Manchester.
Yeah,
he passed the medical. They're going to announce it tomorrow.
A Twitter video of him joining a private jet, but that was it. That's the only thing he sent. So mysterious.
Right? Yeah. Who cares? I mean, who else sent you on a private jet?
Yeah.
Arsenal didn't send you to lunch on a private jet. I'll tell you that.
And Wenger said that he wasn't in the lineup because you can't be in the lineup and be up north, as he said.
Exactly.
So
pretty awesome comment. So yeah, Mkhitaryan's coming in. We'll get Aubameyang. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'd put 95% on that because there's just too much smoke around it.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good signing, and he's a consistent scorer. I'm just interested to see how he would play.
It brings a different dynamic to the club, and that's what we need right now.
Yeah, and it seems like with the way the team is, it would be a nice lift as well.
Bring players in. Let's have a transfer window that goes through without only really top-class players leaving. Let's bring in some top-class players.
Yeah, and he definitely qualifies there. Consistent scorer. I'm checking the odds right now. To leave Dortmund, he is, he's 1-6. So the odds were slashed. It's 2-9 to go to Arsenal. And 33-1. The next closest club is 33-1, and it's Bayern Munich. Arsenal.
Well, boys, put your
slashed.
Drinks up. Let's cheers to Aubameyang coming in Arsenal red.
I'm not gonna do that, but I will drink. So anyway, Arsenal has a terrific
Love
game
it.
Here. They score 4 goals in the first 22 minutes, Ken, and give you and your little ones a nice respite from the. Dreary soccer that they've been playing.
I was watching this game with Offeld, actually. Came over to the house, was on Goon Squad, watching my little 2.5-year-old run around the house naked because we're potty training him. He got into the 7th minute. It was already 2-0. He missed a lot of action.
Yeah. Monreal scores, Iwobi scores, Koscielny scores, and Lacazette scores. I'm pretty sure all those goals were within the 4. They're like within the 4-yard line.
Yeah. I mean, we were passing it in. Monreal's first game back, though, from injury, scores a goal and assists on a goal.
Yeah, terrific celebration. I like it. He took the ball
just
out of the net.
Blast the ball.
And then punted it as high as he possibly could. No concern at all for where the ball is going to land. But such an extreme, aggressive celebration.
He's happy to be back.
But, Monreal with a goal in the 6th minute. Arsenal rolls 4-1. Late consolation goal I can't pronounce it.
By the way, we need a lot of goals. We have a goal differential of 11 right now.
I know.
I think maybe 13 now. 14
we,
maybe.
We talked about that before. That your goal differential is really indicative of a team that was struggling. But like you said...
Aubameyang.
Yep, welcome Aubameyang. Chelsea needed the same kind of thing to get back within the top.
Welcome Peter Crouch.
Welcome Peter Crouch. Speaking of the title race, City with a semi-comfortable win over Newcastle United. They did their trademark defensive lapse and allowed a goal after Sergio Aguero flicks in the first ball. Barely gets a touch on it, but that's such a mark of an incredible...
It's an Aguero goal.
...of an incredible striker, is the ability to take a ball that is swerved in from either a free kick or a cross that's just drilled, and to put the lightest touch on it that you really are only redirecting it maybe a foot or two in another direction.
Just enough to confuse the keeper.
And he is also about 5'8", 5'7".
He's top class. And I mean, this he's just in,
Sergio Aguero is very, very good at soccer. He scores in the 34th minute, the 63rd minute, and then a penalty in the 83rd, drawn by Raheem Sterling, obviously. But the game...
He's worth his weight in gold. Just because he's going to give you a goal a game, whether he scores it or draws a PK.
Yeah, he's absurd. I was looking at the all-time Prem scoring list because of Harry Kane last week, and his goal per game ratio is, I believe, above everyone except for maybe Shearer. I'll look it up while we're talking about it, but he scores a hat trick here. And just does Aguero things. 3-1. Well,
before
Manchester
Pep City. Came in and he was like the striker on Man City, it was ridiculously high. I remember seeing the number come out one time on some various Premier League website, and it was like astonishing how high it was.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it almost ad nauseum, but he is just. Then in the beginning, they weren't even trying. You know, like they're barely playing him. He's already in the top 15 for Premier League scorers. He's 28. And on top of that,
Guardiola said if he wants to go, he can go.
Yeah, definitely a statement. Yeah, I mean, when you have a team like that rolls through people, but it was definitely an Aguero game where he just went berserk and showed his quality again. City wins 3-1. You know, it's too bad that with them in their mini slump, I guess we'll call it that the next game they played was against a sliding, possibly relegation-bound Newcastle, and this was not a game. I mean, really.
I could tell where that would come into play for all those losers in second place that think that that's the new first this season because, you know, you lose last week and now the title race is wide open. They go and win this weekend and now it's back to closed.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not
delusional.
I've said it several times that there's no title race. But my point was, and Dr. Pete actually brought this up. Dr. Pete brought this up was rather that they're not slaughtering teams anymore, but they slaughtered Newcastle. They had 21 shots, 9 on frame, and 81% possession.
It's not always a slaughtering in soccer, especially when you're talking about a club that is dominating everything. It doesn't always have to be on the scoreboard. I mean, you can see some pretty very convincing 1-0 victories that look better than teams that went 4-0. So they haven't actually played any worse. It's just sometimes they're just not firing on all cylinders that they have. They're just firing on like 90% of the cylinders. It's unbelievable the way that they're playing. And I'm just glad that this took a loss because I don't think I could have bared having to deal with a bunch of City fans talking about an undefeated season.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I mean, you have to be excited that it didn't...
We have to take little victories at this point with these guys.
It didn't end up like that. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, really.
Don't take the one last thing that Arsenal's holding on to.
Yeah, yeah. I did find that stat, by the way. The all-time Premier League goal scorers in terms of minutes per goal. I'll give you the top five. Javier Hernandez, 130 minutes per goal. That's unbelievable. I can't believe he's that high. I guess it's all those goals. Those are the 100 matches. Ruud van Nistelrooy, 128 minutes per goal. Adam Lafondre with 124 minutes per goal. Thierry Henry, 121 minutes per goal. He also has 175 goals. Sergio Aguero is number one with 106 minutes per goal, which is almost 15 minutes better. It is almost like 15% better than Thierry Henry. I mean, that is unbelievable. Just an amazing career from Sergio Aguero, wherever he ends up going. But City comfortably 12 points ahead. still have their trademark defensive laps. And Dr. Pete asked the question, so what happens, Ken, if one of these defensive lapses where Otamendi kicks the ball off his face or John Stones' prepubescent boy kicks in against PSG or Real Madrid or Barcelona?
No, right. Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like,
so we'll see.
Their defense is they're not game ready because they don't have to play that often, and that's just a fact.
Yeah, nobody's trying to beat them anymore. So
when they're under pressure, they get scored on very regularly. Like, it's not enough to look at the goals that they get scored against per game, because it's not a lot, obviously. But if I would imagine if you were to look at the times that the defense is pressed, they get scored on, I would imagine, more times than they don't.
Well, it's what I said, I think, last week or the week before, that they have a very high goals per shots allowed average. It's actually, I think they allowed like 7.5 shots per game. And they were still allowing 1 to 2 goals in that period, whereas the second best team,
was at 9.5.
So yeah, they allow a lot of goals per shot. And whether or not that's gonna come back to bite them, we'll see. They're still 12 points clear and kicking the living crap out of the crowd.
Right now, who cares?
So we try to make a story out of them, but they win comfortably 3-1 over Newcastle, who looks relegation bound. On the other side of Manchester, awaiting the arrival of Alexis Sanchez, Martial does not want to leave the lineup, Ken, as Manchester United grind out a 1-0 victory over a sliding Burnley. Martial's goal was top class, though. Once again, top corner finish, as he is on point. And United had some chances here. It could have been a little better than this, but honestly, it was just a ground-out game. That's Jose's style, and, you know, Brother Joey said, well, that was really ugly. I don't care. It's 3 points. You know, like...
Yeah. I mean, at this point, ugly
against
win,
Burnley away.
Win. Who cares? And it was away. Yeah, 1-0 away.
Eighth place team away. It previously
we've lost the prestige in that in these days. This new world of needing to score 100 goals a game.
Stupid
like,
city.
We've lost the luster of a 1-0 victory.
It's hard because there are games where Jose plays that way and, you know, Lukaku plays at a 5 out of 10 rating but scores a goal because his one touch that he has in the box is finished and you're like, ugh, we just spent 20 minutes bailing water against Brighton, you know what I mean? Like, those games those games are tough to take. But overall, I thought that United played well here and are picking up some momentum. We'll see what the Sanchez signing does. I believe it's Rashford that'll miss
the
some
Sanchez
time.
Problem
or
is not
Lingard
a problem.
Probably.
I mean, what a problem to have.
Yeah.
Who do I play? Martial, Rashford, Lingard, or Sanchez?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I think
it's unbelievable.
You'll see Sanchez, like I said before, playing in a left wing spot for some games, probably against big teams. And then you'll see him playing in the number 10 spot. I'm interested to see
where
he
does. I would imagine he starts every game.
Yep.
And if he doesn't, where is he going to go in the summer?
Yeah. Is he going to throw a big fit and throw all his toys out of the toy box? Absolutely. So United get a 1-0 win here and stay 3 points clear of Chelsea with their strong win. And a plus, they're still up on Chelsea by 4 goals in the goal differential department, which, you know, could matter at the end of the season. Chelsea, meanwhile, stays 3 points above Liverpool, who play Swansea on Monday. Liverpool looking to draw even and possibly pass Chelsea as they are 3 goals down. Chelsea has plus 29, Liverpool plus 26, and sits on 47 points. So if they smash Swansea by 4, then they'll be in third
All signs
place.
Point to Swansea getting smashed.
Yeah, Swansea is
They've already
bad.
Packed their bags. Like, I don't even think that they show up to games anymore.
They're very bad, as they are in 20th place. They are relegation-bound and on 17 points. You know, side note, Ken, speaking of relegation-bound, etc., did you see that Watford fired Silva?
I did, actually.
Marcos Silva, who was linked with a lot of top jobs, like when the Arsenal job, frankly, the Everton job, West Ham job, you know, he did a really good job last season. And this season, I thought Watford was doing well. They're in 10th place.
Is it just like is it a run of form thing that they find him? Was it a back office thing? Yeah, because I didn't see you don't typically see a manager in the top half of the table getting fired in January.
Yeah, well, they said they blamed Everton. The what? Owner blamed Everton, said that they think that Marco Silva was he stopped trying as hard after the Everton game. He got really upset that Everton wasn't allowed to sign him. And obviously Everton wanted to. They signed a short-term manager in Sam, Big Sam. But, yeah, I mean, on the other hand, Watford has won one of their last 11 Prem games.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It had to be a form. They're probably, well, at least they're going to use the issue in form as the reason for firing. But you're still Watford, and you're still in 10th.
Yeah.
I don't see the issue, but...
Watford released a statement. The club is convinced the appointment of Silva is the right one, and had it not been for an unwarranted approach by a Premier League rival for his services, we would have continued to prosper under his leadership. That's actually kind of an unprofessional statement.
Right, so you're just... Are you just mad that another club wanted your... One of your managers? I think that maybe the owners and the board of Watford need to know where they stand, and they're Watford. And when they have a player or manager that is doing really well, the top end of the table is going to come sniffing around.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so weird. Yeah, get out of here. He's probably better off without him.
I think so too. And so, what would you think? I mean, there is talk of him being the next Arsenal manager. I don't really know much about his tactics. I just know that his name is always thrown into the hat. I mean, is there anything to say about that, or is it not really a story yet?
I don't think it's a story yet. I think that this needs to kind of settle a little bit before. Do I think he could go to Arsenal? I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to take someone pretty special to go into Arsenal and take the cleanup. Well, I mean, giggle, but I mean, like it or not, I mean,
I watched Manchester United still trying to clean up. So.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, so it would depend. Like, do I think Silva is a long-term successor to Wenger? No. Not really. So it depends on what they want to do after Wenger leaves, hopefully this summer. Do they want someone to just kind of come in until someone better is available? But it's like it always goes. I mean, who's available? If Silva's the best available at the time, then yeah. I mean, you don't really have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at the odds for the next Arsenal manager, and he is 20-1. He's 10th in the list, so I would say that's probably hearsay. The rest of these guys on this list, Simeone, Lowe, the Germany manager, Allegri, Ancelotti's actually leading the race with less than 5-1 odds. So I would think that one of those would be before him.
I mean, I would just I would imagine it would be one of those names that even the most passerby of a fan of the league, the name would be known to you. I don't think that a Silva kind of fits the build.
Yeah, there's also Ronald Koeman at 25-1. So Antonio Conte at 33-1.
Ooh. I'll kill myself if Koeman rolls in as the Arsenal manager.
What about Conte? What about Antonio Conte?
I mean,
33-1.
The guy wins. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just business. I mean, I don't need to really like you. I need wins. I need a trophy. I need a title at Arsenal. So if Conte's the man that can come in and do it, I'll watch him jump up and down the sideline for a couple seasons. I don't care.
Sure. Fair enough. So Manchester City wins 3-0. Arsenal wins 4-1. Manchester United wins 1-0. Chelsea wins 4-0. And then we get to the only Sunday match. Southampton, who's been sliding as pretty much everybody 8 through 20 has been on a slide, as the top 6 have been smashing teams, separating themselves. But Southampton gets an own goal from Davinson Sanchez, a sliding, very pretty finish on the own goal by Davinson Sanchez. If you haven't seen it, just basically a cross comes
definitely
in, and he reacts instinctively, and he's not even square to the goal. So it's a pretty impressive finish on the slide. They scored an own goal there, and then about 2 minutes later, who else would score but Harry Kane off of, I think it was a corner kick or a free kick, but basically he was like borderline unmarked. He doesn't score a lot of, well, I guess he scores a lot of everything, but it's not his... He's not Cristiano Ronaldo when it comes to corner kicks generally, but he gets basically unmarked and scores a header here. But Tottenham doesn't come back, and And Pochettino laid into them after this game, Ken.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's not because they didn't. Well, both teams had their chances to win the game. I mean, Harry Kane.
Yeah.
I mean, Harry Kane has the ball fall to him in like the 92nd.
Mm-hmm.
One, how do you leave him that wide open on the 7? Two, you're lucky that he didn't put that thing away. So this is definitely a point gained for Southampton, who is in the relegation zone, unbelievably to me. But
yeah, well, everybody is.
Of course, he should be laying into him.
Everybody's in the relegation zone that's below 10. I mean, Watford's 5 points clear. They're 10th.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the players for Southampton was saying that they're not concerned about being in the relegation zone right now because 2 wins puts them in 9th.
Yeah, I mean, just look at what happened with Everton. They were in 18th place.
Yeah.
They get a slight bounce. I mean, they played pretty poorly since they bounced. They got a 1-1 draw this weekend, but they haven't really played that well in a while now.
No,
and they're still regretting Big Sam. And exactly, they're still up there. But
is are they regretting really Big Sam, or is Big Sam regretting Everton because he is laying into basically everyone at Everton? He called him boring.
He has an 18-month contract. I don't know if I've heard of a manager being brought in that wasn't
getting
like
paid $6 million,
given an interim tag with an 18-month manager. I think that Silva will probably end up there at the end of the season, no matter what. Big Sam is not known for staying with the club, anyways. His job is just to keep them from.
Maybe they get rid of Sam, save some money, and just put Silva in now.
Yeah. That's an interesting idea. It's not good business to hire a dude and then fire him like 2 seconds later when he hasn't done anything wrong.
Sure, but I mean, they took like 40 days to put him in anyway. So they're the most unorganized, terribly run club possibly, at least in the top half of the table.
Yeah.
They've all but shown that card, so I don't think that they're too worried about their public appearance here.
Yeah, but back to the Tottenham-Southampton match. Pochettino laid into them after the game, basically saying they made too many mistakes and had no cutting edge, and that these are 2 points that are going to be dearly missed. And he's absolutely right as you look at the table, Ken. Tottenham in real danger now of being that team that finishes in 5th place, which is, for all intents and purposes, is kind of worse than 6th place because you have to play in Europa. They're 3 points clear from Arsenal, who is in 6th. They do have a large goal differential, 11 goals, and they're only 2 points out of 4th, technically, although Liverpool has a game in hand. But Tottenham, they needed to win this game.
Yeah, they need to win every game because no matter what Pochettino says about disregarding a £200 million pound bid that comes in for Kane in the summer from Real Madrid,
mm-hmm.
you could say you're dismissing it until you're blue in the face. And I'll get second point in a second. Maybe you should, but Harry Kane is not going to stick around and be on the club that could but never did.
Yeah, like
Kane's not
before.
That player. I mean, he's the best player. He's what, best striker in the world right now?
Yep, best.
He's not
going to
stay at a club that has reached their potential, and their potential is, what, 3rd was the best they finished in
no,
the last
finished
couple
second.
Of years. Second. No, they finished 2nd. You're right.
Yeah.
2nd. That's not going to be good enough for a Harry Kane. He's going to want to go to a Real or a Barcelona or, you know, a PSG. Somewhere that he's just going to win titles.
I mean, basically
in the
because
league.
Who wouldn't? I mean, you know what I
exactly.
mean?
Exactly. But now, Pochettino probably said the smartest thing of the weekend by saying that they would disregard any bid that came in for Harry Kane, and they should because everyone, including the Tottenham fans, know what happened the last time they came across a boatload of money.
Yeah.
They don't know how to spend money on players.
Well,
so you might as well just keep what you have in Harry Kane and just try to win something.
Can you miss with £200 million?
They missed with 150.
They missed with 150. Everton missed with 150. Yeah, it's possible, and I think Dr. Pete... The thing that he was most upset about in this game is that Dele Alli continues to play poorly and not offer anything to the game in so many of these matches.
And rightfully so. I mean, where do you hear about his name other than from your brother? No, you do not. Last season, he was the talk of the town, along with Kane. So these clubs, they recognize players. And with Harry Kane, it's not form. It's just what he is. Harry Kane is the best.
Yep.
And he's not going to stay at a club that is not the best. At the very least, not challenging to be the very best, and Tottenham's not challenging to be the best right now. So you can't keep those players. And he's young. He's super young.
Yeah, I think he's 24.
24.
And the idea that he could break all these Prem records.
He is out. He's gone.
Is interesting, if only because he may not be playing in the Prem for that much longer.
The only reason I think... how much is left in his contract? I don't keep up on this kind of information, but if he's got more than 2 years on the contract, the only thing that Tottenham fans might have to hang their hat on is I don't see Harry Kane being the player that goes in and writes a letter, says I want to go.
I got December 1st, 2016. Harry Kane signs a new contract until 2022.
Yeah, dude. Do you see Harry Kane like saying, ugh? Well, maybe he says, you know, thanks for the memories, but...
But you never know, though. He is a London kid. He grew up.
That's what
I'm
saying. I don't see him asking for a transfer.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's also hard to turn down somebody.
Could you imagine
tripling your wages?
Exactly. Yeah. Triple the wages.
And Real Madrid, the service. Real Madrid is really stumbling right now. I think they're in fourth last I checked. And Cristiano Ronaldo, I think, has 4 league goals.
Yeah, they told him he could leave.
Yeah, no, thank you. I love Cristiano Ronaldo as a United fan, just as a legend. He was never my favorite player just because his antics are obnoxious. But he wins so much, and he's such an awesome player that, yeah, sure, you look at it and you're like, oh, yeah, like, sure, we want Ronaldo. Do you want to be on the end of Ronaldo's career? You want to be the guy that tells Ronaldo he has to sit down or play less games? Can you even imagine? You thought Sanchez throws a fit. Like... I don't want to be that team that has to tell Cristiano Ronaldo that he's not the best player in the world anymore.
He should go to Paris.
Just to break in real quick, guys. did you see when he got the head injury and he requested the medic's cell phone so he could use the selfie camera to see how bad his face was messed up?
No, that's amazing.
They called it the most Ronaldo moment of his career.
That is amazing.
Yeah, you should check out the pictures. They're everywhere, and it was quite hilarious. I mean, I feel bad that he got hurt. Don't get me wrong, but that's his reaction.
But I appreciate your false. Yeah, no. I mean, Ronaldo's fantastic and everything, but I do not want to be on the other end of his career.
Nobody does.
When it finally cracks, you know what I mean?
Well, the signs are, I guess, showing that it is kind of. I mean, but it'd be unfair to kind of write him off at this point. I mean, like the one time he starts. You know, kind of slowing pace down. You just kind of write him off. I mean, yeah, what is he, 31? Is he 31?
He's 32.
32?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30 for sure, but he's still got something in him, I think.
Very similar to ourselves, actually.
I just don't think that he's got enough in it to warrant what I would imagine he's going to try to demand to the next club he goes to.
Yeah, I mean, on the other side of that, he has 290 goals in 280 appearances for Real Madrid, which is ridiculous. But this year, he has 6 goals in 15 league appearances. And definitely Real Madrid struggling, which brings us back to Harry Kane. When Real Madrid struggles...
Yeah, dude.
And
it's a wrap. They spend money.
Zidane has been intentionally keeping his squad tight together, which I believe has bred their last 2 years of success. But when you're on a knife's edge like that with form and everything, like, it just takes a little something to blunt you. And maybe it could be Cristiano Ronaldo losing a quarter step, not even a half step. It could be Modric just showing a little more age, or Cruz just being a little slower than he was 1 year ago, or Navas not having the same kind of year. Ramos missing headers that he normally hits. That's why with the Manchester City thing, I won't make my mind up until after 2 years and to see the trophies they won, as Real Madrid coming into the year, clearly the best team in the world, as they, for all intents and purposes, ran over a great Juventus squad in the Champions League. And then this year, they're very pedestrian. And what happens when Real Madrid gets pedestrian, whether Zidane wants to or not, you're going to see some investment. And
you're going to see a billion-dollar summer.
You're going to see the first billion-dollar summer. That's an interesting idea, Ken. That is ridiculous. You know, Eden Hazard probably fits in pretty well, except he's a left winger, and then that's where Ronaldo plays. So that could spark some interesting conversations.
Hazard will be at Real Madrid this summer. Kane will be at Real Madrid this summer.
Yeah, they're number nine. Benzema has not played up to snuff, and honestly,
Benzema will finally come to Arsenal.
You know what? He is. He's still a great number nine. He's just not. I think he's lost the Real Madrid number nine, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And Harry Kane, it fits that mold. As much as I'd like to see Harry Kane stay in the Prem and stay as a loyalist, you got Real Madrid who are going to be looking for a number nine and looking to make a splash, and possibly you're talking about £200 million, which is just
yeah,
absurd.
It's one of those things where I hate Tottenham, but and I can't stand Harry Kane just because, but I don't want to see him go because I'll yeah. never be able to see him play again because I'm not watching the other leagues.
Yeah,
I like watching Harry Kane play. Just young, he's like into it. He looks like he's having fun.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's a double-edged sword, you know. I mean, I want him out of here, but I don't want him out of here.
Yeah, no, I completely understand where you're coming from.
He's out of here, though, definitely.
We will see what happens with that with Hazard as well.
Sorry,
Barcelona
Dr. Pete,
is also missing. Barcelona is also missing a left winger, and Dembele is not the right man for the job. I don't believe, especially compared to Hazard, who is perfect for Barcelona. But we'll see what happens with that. Moving forward to next week's games. Well, this week we still have the Monday game we talked about. We have Liverpool. And then I think we have some... What do we have? Like FA Cup action? I think we have some FA Cup action next week. And then we have some big matches in the midweek.
Oh, we have a big FA Cup. It's finally might resolve the pod bet.
Do we?
Maybe.
You mean the Carabao? Is it the Carabao round?
I think it is.
Let me see. I got the FA Cup here. Yeah,
no, FA Cup. It's
FA
not Carabao.
FA Cup. Yep.
Yeah, FA Cup. Chelsea, Newcastle, Man City, Cardiff City. They're actually the next weekend's game. They're taking place at Prem games. Well, that sucks. Liverpool, West Brom, and not too many matchups. Yeovil Town versus United. Barf. Yeah. So that's not going to be a ton of fun. But that Carabao Cup game. Should be coming up here. You guys do need to resolve it. You're going to play to another like 0-0 drab draw?
Can't. Somebody has to win. It's the second leg.
You are correct, Tyler. That is Wednesday's match.
Yeah.
Arsenal.
Chelsea.
Oh, is it the Carabao? Oh, the second leg.
Football
yeah, yeah.
League
I got,
Cup.
I got,
Arsenal,
I got,
Chelsea.
I got.
Yeah, no, that's why I was saying we might actually get some resolution because ever
Somebody
since we've made bets
win.
About this, we've had ties and draws.
And it's at the Emirates.
Yeah.
So. And it's the only thing
that's
we
all
have.
She wrote. I'm going to call it now. Mkhitaryan with a blast to end the game, probably around the fourth goal of a 4-0 drubbing in the
first
16th
goal,
minute or so.
Yeah, will be Mkhitaryan and an introduction, Aubameyang hat trick.
Okay, hat trick, and then Peter Crouch with a late consolation.
Yeah, Peter Crouch will come in with a consolation, and then Andy Carroll will come in with a pass and make it 4-2.
Yep.
And Peter Crouch, after his goal celebration, will do that
robot.
Money robot celebration.
Yeah. Peter Crouch can't score a goal
Peter
without
Crouch.
Doing a robot.
So we got some cup matches coming up, and then next week we'll get into those matches, but there's a Tottenham-Manchester United match on the horizon. That is massive for Tottenham and Manchester United, really, but even bigger for Tottenham as they need to take points off United. But we will get into that next week. That'll do it for this week's podcast, unless Ken has anything to add. Ken?
I got nothing.
Tyler, anything you want to add besides go Peter Crouch?
No, I think I'm just, based on what you were saying about my son at the beginning of the podcast, I think I'm just going to start calling him the Everton manager. Because his name's Sam, and he's big.
Big Sam.
In the house.
Big Sam does have an enormous head, so be wary of what you're actually, in what ways you're insulting your son.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, just keep that in mind. Yeah, Big Sam and the boys, Everton.
Can't wait till he starts calling your parenting style boring. It's his word of choice lately.
All right, that will do it for us on that note. We hope everybody has an awesome week. We also welcome our listeners from Germany. We pick up another country. We're always excited to have you guys. And super excited about the Prem when it returns. Not so excited about FA Cup action, but we'll cover it anyways, Ken. We will cover it anyways.
Yeah, we'll be here.
And the end of the transfer window. The Sanchez saga comes to an end, and Peter Crouch goes to London.
I cannot wait to see that happen.
That's it for me. Hope everybody has an awesome week.